3, 2, 1.
Long Hope Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Wednesday morning, May 21st. This is a special edition broadcast because I'll be unable to broadcast on Thursday morning, our usual time. The year is 2008. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. I encourage everyone this morning, please, if you're awake and alive and you are listening live, to call our station with your questions and your comments, 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. Of course, you can email me at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I will respond immediately to you, or I'll comment back on the air during the next broadcast. I would also like to encourage everyone, and it's getting closer and closer, folks. I am absolutely convinced. I know I sound like the guy who has a sign with the beard and the funny teeth that he walks around saying the sky is falling. Folks, let me tell you something. The sky is falling, okay? And it's time for each of us to become a little bit more educated on economic, worldwide economic issues. Those are the things that will bring things down. And I encourage you to go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com, mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses the current economic issues. He does a fabulous job, the very, very best newsletter available. And here's the big one. It's free of charge, and he does have a paid subscription that I do. It is prescription, I'll be honest with you, more than anything else. But it's a subscription for $39 or $49 a year. Very, very well worth it. Please support him. And what he has to say will definitely support you. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. This is a special edition of Liberty Talk Radio. Again, I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. The reason for a Wednesday morning edition, and I suspect a lot of it's going to throw a lot of people off, because we usually broadcast on a Thursday morning. However, I'm going to be at the Libertarian National Convention tomorrow in Denver, Colorado, and I'm really excited about that. I'm fortunate my son lives real close to there, and so we're going to be visiting with my son, which will be a nice trip for us. We don't get away very often, and this is a great opportunity. I have received calls from some of the candidates, like Christine Smith and Wayne Allen Root, and I received an absolutely beautiful letter, a moving letter. I very rarely read these letters all the way through from people who are running for office. This one I read, I was moved and I was motivated, and that was from the former Democratic senator from the state of Alaska, Mike Gravel. It's going to be tough as to I'm going as a delegate, and I have not made up my mind. There are so many good candidates now. At the top of the list are people like the Mike Gravels and the Christine Smiths and the Wayne Allen Roots and the George Phillies, all excellent candidates. And of course, now we have Bob Barr in the race. So we expect to have a very good turnout, not only at the convention, but I think we'll have a good turnout at the polls for the Libertarian Party. If, in fact, we can achieve over 5% of the vote, this will be groundbreaking, folks. And I think we have the candidates to do it this year, and we have the mood of the public to do it this year. Unfortunately, in Oklahoma, we have no Libertarian Party. I don't know how that works with the presidential election. I guess he just will not be on the ticket unless he runs as an independent here. I really don't even know how that works, and I think that's sad. I think West Virginia is the only other state, the two most backward states of the Union, of course. Every other state has them on the ballot. Anyway, enough of that. I want to talk about immigration today, but before I do, has anyone out there heard about the secret session of the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday? I understand I had no time to research this, but I did get two calls regarding this. The House of Representatives met in secret session for the first time, folks, now listen to this, in 176 years. Now, the speculation is rampant. One part which may be true, which may be fact, is that they voted on suing OPEC for being a monopoly and causing and being the major cause of the rise in price of oil worldwide. That proposal was presented and passed by a count of 281 to 88. Now, folks, unless I know, I'm pretty sure that I've lost my mind. I mean, this really drives me nuts. Could you imagine we are going to sue OPEC? I think this doesn't even pass the laugh test. Apparently, everyone who left this meeting was in a really bad mood. Of course, they were all sworn to secrecy. Now I'll tell you some of the other stuff that's come out as a result of this. And when I say the other stuff, I mean some of the theories, conspiracy stuff. And they've also included in that conversation, and this is speculation, we have no idea what they talked about, is what's going to happen to the economy, concerns about civil unrest, and the probability of the United States being cast in a depression sometime in September 2008, with the federal government going literally bankrupt in February of 2009. Absolute speculation. However, the Global European Anticipation Bulletin also published the same thing last month. Now, these guys don't publish things that flippant. I mean, there's got to be something behind it. Folks, we're in for a nasty one. This morning, the price of oil went over $130 a barrel. Gold is up another $10 or so, I believe. I think it's $9.26 on the futures market. Silver is well above $17 again. And remember, silver in 1980 went to $50. Watch for silver to be $250, folks. We have real concerns. We are doing nothing about it but blaming everyone else. Let's blame OPEC for our oil rise problem. For the oil pricing problem, let's blame OPEC. Let's not blame us. Let's not blame our loose monetary policy. Let's not blame the Fed. Let's not blame the fact that we're printing money like it's going out of style to support wars overseas that we initiated ourselves. Let's not blame ourselves. Okay? Jeez. Here's an example. Credit card regulation. Now our Congress is getting involved in credit card regulation because they don't like the amount of interest that the credit card companies are charging. Now, most of my friends who are progressive Democrats, social Democrats, whatever they got, socialist. Okay, I wish they just say, I'm a socialist, you know? Screw this capitalist crap. I'm a socialist. You know, the state takes care of everything. But they don't admit that. Good friends of mine, but they're they're socialists. I get so angry. But here's the situation with them is that they feel also that the government should step in and put a cap on these egregious interest rates. Now, I want you to think about that just for a second while I take a swig of coffee because it's still very early in the morning for me. Now, why should the government have to step in? You mean if a person is stupid enough to charge on a charge card, knowing that if they're going to be late, they're going to be charged interest. Now, they may not know the exact amount, but they know they're going to get hit pretty heavy. Now, let's say the first month. Let's assume the person has a card for the first month. I assume the person's not going to charge $10,000 the first month. They're going to charge a few hundred dollars, maybe even $1,000 if they go hog wild. And then they get their first statement, and they look at the interest. They go, holy smackaroonies. I only charge for 1 month $1,000, and I'm getting hit with $15 worth of interest, whatever it comes out to be. That's a lot of money annualizing. No, that's a lot of money. Do you think at that point that the cardholder would say, enough of this, goodbye card, in the shredder, pay off my account, never to be used again? No, they charge another few hundred or few thousand the next month, and again the next month, and again the next month, and again the next month. And then they go, I owe $15,000. My interest every month is $450. I can't even make the interest payment. They charge such high interest. I don't know what to do. I'm going to write my congressman and have him to enact legislation for those people, those greedy bastards. You know, and this is what we do. And then the congressman can get on there and say, look at Mrs. Lucy here. Look at her. She can't pay her bill. Look at the interest. 27% interest. It's terrible. You know what the credit card company should charge? 100% interest. 500% interest. That's what they should do. And then people go, holy smoke, destroy the damn things, and maybe they'll save some money. I can't believe this. I just cannot believe it. Don't decrease the interest. Increase it. That will put a stop on the use of credit cards because people can't pay them. The antidote to these high prices is high prices. Make it high. 23%? Hey, wussy stuff. That's easy. No problem. Make it 58%. They charge $500. They revolve $500. Charge them $100. You see how fast that credit card would go through the shredder. They pay that once, never to charge again. They'd be more responsible. You know, back in the old days in the streets of Harlem, you wanted to borrow money, it was 6 for $5. You know what that means? Every week, for every $5 you borrowed, you paid back $6. That's a lot of, that's on a weekly basis. You missed a week, you know, they broke your bones. You want something? You paid. And after you finished paying, you never borrowed again. You went to a bank and got a long-term loan and got a job. Oh, my goodness gracious. I cannot believe. So Congress has to save people? Congress? What does Congress know? They're a bunch of lawyers. We all hate lawyers. Let's admit it. We vote them into office, and now they know everything. They know how to control the energy crisis. They have an answer to the energy crisis. A bunch of political lawyers. And we trust them. And that include Hillary Clinton and the rest of them. What's the matter with us? Yeah, let's elect this attorney who we know is lying to us in office, and then who knows nothing. I mean, can hardly put, doesn't even know how to put gas in his own car, but he's going to solve the oil crisis. And we got these social democrats, my friends, the lovely people, some of them say, oh yes, we need that. How about not driving so much? How about not driving an SUV to go see the leaves turn in the fall? How about doing something like, and I hate to approach this subject because this is going to, I'm going to get backlash on this. How about walking for once? Ha ha, radical walking. Oh boy. I've never seen anyone walk and have to take a gas pump nozzle and put it in their mouth to refuel. Good thing I'm not upset this morning. Jeez. Credit card interest regulation. What a joke. What a joke. And the biggest joke is this illegal immigration. I think I am going to lose it altogether. I know what you're thinking. He's already lost it. Who is he kidding? I know that. Easy on me for a minute. And folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Call in 646-652-4620. I think I had too much strong coffee this morning. It's not me, it's the coffee. Don't blame me. It's the coffee. I can guarantee you that. Jeez. When I was in San Diego last week, a friend of mine is a commandant at the naval base. Big position. And I mentioned this in a previous broadcast. But this is what I did not mention. By the way, he's a social... I love the guy. Wonderful people. Social Democrats have not a scintilla of brain matter when it comes to liberty. And yet he's... And he fights to defend it. I can't understand that. I love you, Jim, but you gotta think through the process. Anyway, I'm in the cafeteria at the hotel. They have this little cafeteria room, which is their breakfast room, where you have a free continental breakfast. A pretty nice layout, you know, but it's just a room. Has no acoustical tiles in it or anything like that. It's just a raw room, basically, with tables and chairs and coffee and, you know, all sorts of food. When I walked in there early in the morning to get my breakfast, I was one of 20 people in there. And it's a small room, really crowded. In fact, I had difficulty even finding a chair to sit down to have my coffee and cereal that I had. Anyway, everyone was speaking. Everybody was talking. Everyone was talking all at once, it seemed. All 20 people. And that's unusual. Americans don't talk. So I knew I was not in the presence of... And I hate using the word Americans, because there's South America, there's North America, and we're all Americans. People from the United States. States people. I was not with the U.S. people. And because of the din in the room, I could not distinguish which language they were speaking. I assumed it was Spanish because we were only 12 miles from the Mexican border and there's a very large Spanish population. And I sat there, not all I hear is because you can't, the acoustics are horrible and I have terrible hearing anyway. But I did notice that the people weren't very dark skinned. And I said, yes, unusual for so many people here from Mexico to be relatively light-skinned. Now, there were a dozen motorcycles outside, beautiful motorcycles. There was they were on a tour, you know. And once a few left and I got to listen to some of them, I realized they weren't speaking Spanish. They were speaking French. I'm guessing they may have come from Montreal. I'm just guessing, or from Canada, you know. And I sat there and I said, you know, I could have had two reactions to this. One was, we're in the United States. We're in America. And in America, you speak English. You don't like it? Get the hell out. I mean, that's what you typically hear. I thought it was wonderful. I said, you know, I have no idea what they're saying. They're all speaking their native tongue. And again, at the time, I didn't think it was French. I thought it was Spanish. And I said, but you know, it doesn't affect me. What difference does it make? I think it's wonderful that people are allowed to speak in whatever language they so choose. And I felt very comfortable there. They were very nice. They were polite. I mean, it was no problem. No fights, no switchblades, no guns, no nothing. Just smiles and a lot of talk. And I thought how wonderful it was that people were talking. When I go to a hotel and there's mostly people from the States sitting there, it's dead quiet. There could be 20 people in the room. No one's talking. They're watching television. Fox News. But everyone was talking. That was wonderful. I just sat there and I, you know, didn't understand. Not a word. Not one word. Not even a half a word. And I said, what's wrong with people coming here and not speaking English? Why are we so afraid? And if I lived in a neighborhood where most of the people spoke Spanish, or they spoke French, or whatever language it is, and I had a half a brain cell working, what I would do is I would learn that language. It would be an experience for me. And in turn, you don't think that any of those people, if they lived here, would not make an attempt to learn English? Of course they would. Now, the first generation, typically a small portion. Second generation, a larger portion. By third generation, they all speak English. We think that the people who are coming from overseas, from Europe, those coming from the Southeast Asia or the Asian continent or Eurasia, or those people coming from the southern borders are going to come here and they're going to inflict their language on our country. But my response to that is, so what? This is a free country. Our Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And breathing free means the right to speak your own language. But no, you know, we got rednecks around here, I'll tell you that. Say, not around here. You come to this country, you're going to speak American. Whatever the hell American is. If you're going to speak American, that means you should just be able to speak any language you want. Just because they're too damn lazy and dumb to learn it. Now, I know as you get older, it's more and more difficult to learn a new language. Very difficult. I know when I had my company, I learned enough Spanish to get through some of the testing and converse with the employees about their medical history. And it took me a lot of work to learn a relatively very, very narrow part of that language. But I enjoyed it. It was an experience. We Americans are just, not Americans, I'm sorry about that. We here in the United States, we USers, are lazy. And we want everyone to be like we are. We are like people who live in Oregon. They fear outsiders. We fear outsiders. Anyone who looks different, we fear. In Oregon, people move to Oregon because that's the environmental state. And people live there, and once they settle in, they shut the door behind them. They don't want anyone else in. They want legislation to keep people out. Oh, let me backtrack. And then, the next morning, I was in a different hotel, and a gentleman came in and said, you know, start talking to me in, he was struggling with the English language. He was from Florence. That's my friend, Luca, from Florence, a new friend. And he spoke enough English. In fact, he spoke very well, considering that, you know, he's not from this country. I think he spoke tremendously well. He struggled a little bit. But, geez, if I knew that much Italian, I would consider myself near fluent in the language. And his wife came in. Lovely couple. I took them out to breakfast the next morning. I said, please, let me take you out to breakfast. I will buy. They said, oh, no. I said, no, I have to. I said, I want to make friends with you. They were wonderful. And we talked for 2 hours. We don't do that in America anymore. We don't talk anymore. We make statements. We held on to our beliefs. And we don't want to know what you think. Because whatever it is, it's wrong. Because it's not the way I think. And that's the way we are here. I felt very comfortable. In fact, I was sitting amongst those, the French-speaking people, the motorcyclists, the bikers, and I felt good. I said, you know, this makes me feel good. In America, you can come here and speak any language you want. And no one's going to come in and drag you to jail and fine you. Now, you can imagine if we have an amendment that you have to speak English, how dumb that would be. We should say, give us your poor, your tired, your poor, your huddled masses who speak English yearning to be free. Wouldn't that sound stupid? You know, folks, we have a real problem in this country. I had a conversation with a lovely young lady, a middle-aged lady. And I was at the scooter store getting my scooter fixed. I have a vintage Vespa motor scooter, PX150. I love riding that thing. But I do. I want to buy a Ducati soon. I can't wait. But I just keep on procrastinating. I've been procrastinating for 2 years on this Ducati. Anyway, And I have a PX 150 1800 Honda Trike, which is a monster of a bike. But anyway, the you know, she was talking about illegal immigration. And I said, well, are you really sure that you're against people who came here illegally? She says, I sure am. She says, because they came here illegally. I said, okay. I said, well, when are you leaving? She says, what do you mean? I was born here. I said, no, your ancestors weren't. They came here. They weren't invited. They took the land from the Indians, and then they killed them. Then whatever treaties they had, they lied to them. They raped and they pillaged. They stole from them. They cheated them, and then they drove them off their land. I go, when are they leaving? She had no answer to that. She says, well, that was a long time ago. I said, so? Does it make it right or wrong? She says, well, I see your point. I said, what makes a person illegal? Well, they don't have the papers. I said, fine. I took a piece of paper. I put down, you are now legal. I have a piece of paper. I said, there, now you're legal. What difference does it make? She says, I don't know. I said, would we stop calling people illegal? There's nothing wrong with it. There's no such thing as an illegal person. A person can perform an illegal act, but they cannot be an illegal person. No such thing. Illegal alien. What a dumb expression that is. That is really stupid. And all it does is conjure up hate, distrust, divisiveness, and stupidity. Something we have an abundance of. If we can take the U.S. stupidity and pay off the national debt, we be in the black. I wish we would start thinking. And folks, listen, I ride motorcycles. And let me tell you something. You get around a gang of motorcycle riders, you know, and you talk about illegal immigration, you really get it in spades. Yeah, keep them turban lovers out. You know, gosh, I mean, you got to hear the expression. And my favorite one is, yeah, we should nuke them. You know, everything we nuke. Don't like them? Nuke them. What's wrong with people coming here and speaking their own language? In the turn of the century, 1900, not 2000, I am getting old. Right? When they came over here, they were in enclaves all over the place. They spoke their own language. They were in these enclaves, these little ghettos, where everyone spoke the same language. They didn't want to speak English. We didn't drive them out. And they took all the low-paying jobs from everybody. You know, we had names for them. The Italians, those bunch of guineas. You know, the kikes. You know, we had names for every one of them. Polacks, you name it. We had names for every one of them. And every time a wave of them came in, we had another name for them. And they were the worst people in the world. They weren't learning the language. And if we're so concerned about that, what about the Amish people? Who now stay by themselves in their own enclave, speak their own language, their own traditions. We don't drive them out of America. No, but we accept them because we like their food. Folks, we better start thinking as a nation. There will not be a broadcast on Sunday evening at 8 o'clock as usual because I will be returning from Denver, Colorado, from the convention at that time. So I will broadcast Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. I will have a broadcast, a special broadcast Monday morning, and that would be the 26th. And that's Memorial Day. I'm going to have a broadcast on Memorial Day on the 26th. I think it is the 26th. Yes, it is. Okay. Well, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. And remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Remember, we will be broadcasting not Sunday evening, but Monday morning, 6:30 a.m. And then we'll have a regular broadcast on Thursday and Sunday again as normal. We should be out to a normal schedule for the next year. Okay? And until next time, stay well, stay tuned.